2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now that could get me to start preaching right there. But I'm not the preacher today, so I'm going to keep reading. All right, but I'm going to say it again. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God for the people of God. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to go ahead and just welcome Anya up here. I do have to give a little bit of an introduction. And we are blessed to, in fact, we're very blessed. I'm blessed with my whole team here, but to have had Anya and Steve, start, you know, they kind of started hanging out here about a year ago now. And we recognize the call of God upon her life. We see God's work in her. And she is called and gifted to lead, and we are wanting to just cultivate that, as well as not just cultivating her calling. I will say this, and she hears me say this, she's got the smiles already on her face, but to grow with her and to encourage her in her personhood, to care for her soul, to cultivate not just what she does, but who she is. And so we are grateful for the opportunity to do that. But I'll tell you, she is a doer. She gets things done. And we're blessed to have her. So Lord, I pray that you will just speak through Anya today. We open up our hearts to what you would say through her to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, I feel fancy. I have this little headset thing on. My name is Anya Schaun, and my husband's over there. He's awesome. His name is Steve, and my wonderful daughter. I'm so excited that she's here because she's my favorite human. Sorry, Steve. She's my favorite human. And her boyfriend, Jack. I'm so excited to be here with you guys and be on this journey. The plan is to become ordained through your guys' denomination. And so I'm really excited to be through this process, and the way that this body has treated me and the way the staff has treated me has just been incredible and amazing. First of all, I have my awesome iPad and paper because I don't trust electronics, because my daughter would say it's because I'm old. I don't say I'm old, but you know. So today, I feel like God has put on my heart for you guys, and it's something that I have been wrestling with, is God has called us to so much more. And it's funny when my husband goes, what are you going to speak on? And I told him this. He goes, you've been talking about that for years. And I said, yeah, but it's something I've been wrestling with for years, because when I first heard the word, I kind of misunderstood it. And we'll get into that a little bit later. So there's a couple things I think that God wants me to communicate with you today. So number one, God has more for you. God desires all of you. And when we walk in the more that God has called us, we can change the world. So another thing I want to point out is after communion, I'd like to make an opportunity for people to come up forward and pray and ask God for more. If it's something that you just want, that longing. If you don't have that longing, come forward and ask for that as well. We'll be wearing masks, so we'll be still practicing social distancing. But we're still the church, and praying with one another is a huge part of that. So we want to make that an opportunity for you to do that. All right, so to communicate a little bit about God's more, and also kind of to introduce you to me, if you haven't heard my story, as many of you have and some of you have not, I'm just going to give you a tiny little interview version of my story. So I was raised in a church as a pastor's kid. So I was raised, my dad was a pastor of a church, and I was raised believing in God and encountered God in many ways as a child. As a preteen, I started struggling with anger and wanting my own way, like many teenagers, and kind of struggling with God and in the church. And then I started using drugs, kind of, you know, hanging out, doing that kind of stuff. And during that process, I ended up getting pregnant, because as teenagers, when you're running around with the bad, wrong crowd, that's kind of what happens to you. And had a child, which was the best thing that ever happened to me, by the way, just so you don't misunderstand me back there, kiddo. And started doing a bunch of crazy criminal activity, which I'm not going to get into. It was just cooking meth and doing crazy stuff, just outrageous things. And during that process, I lost the custody of my daughter in a drug raid. After that, I became an IV drug user and was a meth and heroin use. I became homeless. I had lost contact with my family, friends, everything. I had completely lost everything. I was imprisoned multiple times. And the last time I was arrested in the back of a squad car, I reached this point where I was like, I'm so done with my life. I'm so done doing it my own way, because it's just a mess. And just as our life in Christ is progressive towards more of good things, so is the life of sin is progressive more towards the wrong thing. And I had reached the end of my rope. And I send back that squad car, God, I am done. And I told the police officer that as well. And he laughed, because I'm sure he's heard that before. But I meant it. I made that statement and I meant it. And I moved forward from that. And there was so many miracles that occurred during that time to get me into this wonderful program, Drug Court, that saved my life. I went through rehab and counseling and all these amazing things that helped me get to be that clean and sober person that I needed to be. I reconciled with my family, I reconciled with my daughter, and then I met my wonderful husband, Steve, and we started dating and we got married, and we've been married now for 14 years. I think I got that right. Sometimes we get kind of backwards, 13, 14, something around there, but I'm pretty sure it's 14. And shortly after I had reconciled with my family and got back home, my mother started tugging on my shoulder and just saying, hey, you need to get back in church. You know, because I had made that commitment, all right, God, I'm tired of doing it my way, but I hadn't fully kind of stepped into what God had called me to do and be in the person that God had called me to be. And so I started going to church, and then my mom's tugging on me. God's called you to more. God's called you to lead worship, and she had all kinds of visions that she had that what I was supposed to be doing. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to do that, you know. So she's like, no, get up here. So I started singing on the worship team, and God started speaking to me through that, just pouring words into me and healing my heart and healing my mind. And then eventually I became the worship pastor for that church, and went on to helping with women's ministries and teen ministries and had a coffee house ministry. I was doing all kinds of stuff, because during that time God first spoke this word to me. God said, I have called you, actually this church, to so much more. And I got really excited about that. I'm like, that's awesome. And then God's like, I have called you to so much more. So awesome. But I only understood a part of what that was. I took it as God wants me to do more, which is true. He does. But I forgot some key parts, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. So what is more? Sometimes I like to take these little words that we use every single day, and we just kind of, the meaning, we forget the meaning, and kind of change some and puts a meaning to that word. So the word definition is just greater or additional amount. Or similar words as further, added, extra, increased, fresh, and new, which I love. I love the new. God wants something new for us. So more is progressive. More is abundant. More is unending. Because that is who our God is, right? He is an unending, infinite being, and he wants to draw us into who he is. So what is this more that God has called us to? The more is a relationship and pouring of himself into our life, that we would know him, that we would desire to be with him. We would be constantly filled with his presence because we are what? Broken vessels, right? This relationship would be so close that you cannot tell one from the other. That was the intention from the beginning and was broken by sin. However, this relationship possibility has been repaired through the cross. So this relationship is mentioned many times through Scripture as a marriage, right? Because it's very similar. That's something that we can wrap our mind around. Now, when me and my husband were first married, we're both very strong people and like our own ways. And so the first year of marriage, trying to work together to do a simple project was nearly impossible. And part of that was we knew of each other. We have experienced some of each other, but we hadn't fully experienced one another, nor had we spent the time and the energy to get to understand and trust one another. So doing a project was just a challenge. So there was this one instance, we had this tree that was right next to our house, and it was a magnolia tree. So we knew that someday it was going to be massive. And we're like, okay, we're going to move this tree. And we look at each other like, okay, we're going to try this project. We're going to see how this works. So we dig up the tree, and then we just both decide at the same time to put it in the middle of the yard, which was kind of awkward. But we were so proud of ourselves because it was the first project that we had done without fighting. We enjoyed ourselves, and we got it done. And now that's similar to what our relationship with God is. We have to spend that time, get to know him, get to understand who he is, so that we can move with him. His will becomes our will, and his heart becomes our heart. God wants you to know everything about him. He wants you to know how to order his coffee. You know, you have those friends that's like, half calf latte, I need this degree and that degree. I mean, those people. God wants you to understand him in that way. You know, he wants you to get him. He wants you to understand him in that, because he knows us that way. You ever been with somebody that knows you so well, but you don't know them at all? It's kind of this weird relationship. God desires to know us and him to know him. The next part of this verse is the powerful part. I mean, the 2 Peter 1 through 3, this, and he was hitting on it there, Kelly was. So his divine power has given us. I love the terms. It's all past tense stuff. It has already been done. I love that. His divine power has given us everything, so we're not lacking in anything, we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge, this is the part I forgot when he first gave me the word, the knowledge of him who had called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of this world caused by evil desires. So he's given us everything. He's already given us. So through the knowledge of him, we come to the knowledge of him as we learn of him through his word, through prayer, through the community of God's people. Very powerful. It is true that we all need God alone, but God does not meet us in our solitude alone, but also in the community of his people. The knowledge of God comes to those who are called. Who is called? All of us. I think some people are like, oh, the pastors are called. Every single one of us is called to minister. Every single one of us is called to reach people for Christ. Everybody has a part. It is the knowledge, but not mere an intellectual understanding or intuition. Just like in a marriage, when you're first dating, you know their favorite color, you know their favorite song, you know things like that, but you know them because you haven't experienced them enough to understand who they are. This comes by experience and the God's people have of God himself. And then verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. In the divine nature, we get to participate in the divine nature. That is a powerful statement. That is a scary statement. It was a very scary statement. And I want to be careful, but radical, okay? Number one, I want to just say the basic thing, make sure you guys understand. We are not God or little gods. Okay, I want to say that so there's no misunderstandings. However, God has invited us to participate in his divine nature. I don't know how, it just blows my mind, this verbiage. I'm like, wait, what? So to participate in the divine nature, divine means what? Holy or sacred or godlike, right? And nature is just his essential qualities. So he's asking us to participate in his godlike qualities. That's powerful. That is so powerful. We are like, this is a powerful, powerful thing. So participation in the essential qualities and holiness, we are participating with him in the power that it was in work within us. And my wonderful Tony back there, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, there's that more again, than all we ask for or even imagine, according to the power, his power, that is at work within us. It's something that is already within us, his divine nature. I think we have made being children of God such a small thing. We actually should get angry. We should have this anger like, wait a minute. What have I been settling for? Wait a minute. You've called me to participate in your divine nature. Your power resides within me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides within me. Then what am I doing? Why am I sitting around twiddling my thumbs and going, oh, I'm saved by grace and I'll just make it through. You're making grace so small. It's so, so small. Sorry, I get a little excited. The next part is having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. I love it again. Escaped. Past tense. We have escaped the corruption of this world. So I believe total freedom. And when God put this on my heart and he showed, kind of brought this to my attention, I was like, God, I know this is true, that you have called us to live in complete freedom from sin and be the righteous people that you've called us to be. But I'm like, God, I fall so short. How can I possibly say these words? God's like, you're missing the point. Be excited. Yes, this word can be convicting and go, man, yes, I need to live more righteous and more holy life. But God's like, this should be exciting to you, that you can move into complete freedom. Complete freedom. Even the concept in my mind, because my past is so ugly, is like, it hurts my head to even imagine what complete freedom feels like. God's like, I have it for you right here. It is already yours. You just need to pick it up and take it and participate in it. There's no partial escape or partial freedom. What does that even look like? You know, I think many times we as Christians are ineffective because we're like, we're free. We're free. Covered in chains. And people are like, what are you talking about? You have more chains than I do. No, we're free. We're free. And so the message gets lost. It gets lost because we look the same as everyone else. We haven't accepted our freedom and walked in the freedom that God has called us to do because, well, there's a lot of reasons. And we'll get to those. So what is freedom? It's a state of being not imprisoned or enslaved, right? And I think that especially today's Christians, and because of the grace movement, and grace is amazing, but also misunderstood, and freedom is misunderstood. It's, I have the freedom to do whatever I want because Christ has saved me. I'm a Christian to all things appear, to the pure, all things appear. I didn't have that quote exactly, so don't quote me. But You can't be walking around re-enslaving yourself in things, claiming you're free. And that is the problem. We look the same as the world. God does not desire partiality. He desires all of us. All of us. So similar words to freedom, liberty, release, deliverance, discharged. When we come to Christ, we are forgiven of our sins, and we have been delivered from our sinful nature, past and future. This was a part that really stood out to me because, you know, I was forgiven of my sin here. God's like, I've forgiven your sin here. You're not bound to continue sinning. The old man is dead. You are not bound to future sin. And I'm like, so it's possible for me to live a holy life. That's amazing. I think we've gotten tricked somehow to believe that, oh, we're just human. God's like, you're missing the point. Full freedom is available for you. It has already been bought, purchased, paid for, and attained. Our escape or freedom is past tense. We've already attained it. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. So it's saying you are free, but you're more than welcome to walk back into slavery if you choose so. But the freedom is possible. So here's another radical statement, but something we talk about all the time, but I think we forget what it means. Jesus is our example on earth, right? He walked in the more that I'm talking about, the complete fullness of God, being blameless and full of power. We are called to be like Christ. Through his death and resurrection, he has made this possible. We are called to be like Christ. You know, I can just imagine Jesus mobbing around, and people are just noticing him. They're like, something about this dude. I want to follow him, you know? You ever met those people, encountered those people in your life? You're like, they're just cool. I want to be like that person. They inspire me, right? That's who we are supposed to be. We don't have to be preaching from our pulpit. We don't have to be preaching all around. Not that we shouldn't be spreading the gospel, but our very lives should be magnetic because we are Christ-like. That's what being a Christian means. So the children of God are called, we are his ambassadors, which means you're an official representative. And some of you, like me, many times in my life, are doing a terrible job. Like, most people don't want to come to our country because they're like, you're horrible. Many Christians on Facebook, it's like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Why are you saying these things? This is not leading people to God. This is not leading people to Christ. This is not making people go, wow, this person is amazing. I want to know why they're this way. We need to be that at our workplaces, in our families, on our social media, everywhere we go. We need to be his ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making his appeal through us. We are to implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Another thing we're called is a royal priesthood. And I'm not going to get into all the priesthood stuff, but because it's powerful. But man, that is a very intense statement, to be the priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9-10. There you go. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are his workmanship. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that list goes on and on and on of what God has called us to be. So what prevents us from entering into what God has called us? I think there's many different reasons. And one small example, and some of you have heard this story, but it was a very impactful part of my life where I was leading worship. And I believe in hand raising. I think there's something very powerful about physically participating in worship. And maybe you don't believe that way, but I believe it's very powerful. Just the appearance of it is I surrender, right? If you've ever been arrested, this is an important thing to do, okay? So I surrender. So this is very important. And so I was leading worship, and I hadn't raised my hands in worship yet. I had a lot of like animosity towards the church and things of God still that God was really working on my heart. And there was a specific song, and God's like, I would like you to raise your hands. And I said, no. And that's how I knew God was speaking to me, is I argued with him. That's how I know it's God. I'm arguing with him. And I said, no. And he's like, do you want more in your life? And I'm like, yes. Then raise your hand. So me, my rebellious self, I said, okay, I'm raising my hand. He's like, mm-mm. I want you to raise your hands. And I'm like, mm-mm. And God's like, how much do you want? Do you want to move and be the person I've called you to be? How much of yourself are you going to give me? Because, I mean, God will use duct tape and things like that, but how much more powerful if we let him use our entire selves? And so I said, okay, God, a little bit more. And, man, there was this battle and this tension and this wrestling going on inside of me. And finally, one thing that broke in me, and this sounds so ridiculous, because I grew up in the church, my parents wanted to see God in me so bad, which is a wonderful thing. But I thought in my mind, God, I can't raise my hands because I will not give my parents the satisfaction. The moment that came out in my mind, I thought, oh my goodness, you are a grown woman and you're saying these things. And at that point, I made the decision to raise my hands completely. And something powerful happened in my heart at that moment. And I thought, wow. And that was really where God really pushed me forward to more, these little moments where he's like, I have more for you. So some of the things that prevents us, I think number one is ignorance. We just didn't know there was more. Thought either A, I haven't found Jesus Christ as my Savior yet, don't even understand that concept, or the other one is that you are a believer, you've been filled with the Spirit, you've seen God move in your life, and you think this is it. This is all God has. Some believers that have been believers for a very long time think, I've already attained it, I've already arrived, and now I'm just kind of sitting on my retirement until it's time to go to heaven. God's like, no, no, I have more. Constantly more for you. Another one is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear that God's going to make you do something you don't want to. That was a big one for me. I thought, my big one is, I will never be in the ministry. You can't make me. You can't pay me enough. Nope, never going to happen. Well, here I am in the ministry, and I love every minute of it. Most of the time, actually. And the other thing, I was not going to go to Africa, which I did go to Africa, and it was amazing. So I guarantee you that God will ask you to do things that you don't want to do. But when you become aligned with God, in relationship with God, his heart becomes your heart. His desires become your desires. And all of a sudden, you're going to be moving in areas that you never thought possible or even desired to be in. And you're going to find incredible enjoyment and satisfaction in those times. Another thing is trust. Trust comes with relationship. You don't just trust people right away. It's something you have to work on. One way to do that is recount God's goodness in your life. God's been good in your life, recount those goodness. And you're like, I don't think of anything God's ever done for me. Well, I'm sure you can think of stuff. Think small. God, thanks for this coffee and the cream in my coffee. God, thanks for the air that I'm breathing. You start there, and before you know it, you're going to go, okay, God has been incredibly faithful in my life. And this big one, and I think it's big in our culture, and it's big in our Christian lives, is we're comfortable. We're just comfortable. We're comfortable with the way it is, the status quo. We've tasted and saw that it was good and that was enough. Just a little, okay, I'm good. We're just hanging out, you know? It's not real challenging. I don't have to really do a lot, but, you know, I live a good life. It's good. I'm comfortable. You should feel stretched. You should feel strengthened when you're working out in fitness and getting stronger. It's challenging, right? Because your muscles are being torn and shredded and rebuilt to be stronger and stronger each time. That's what God desires for us. That stretching, strengthening. He wants you to push deeper into a relationship with him. Your Christian walk should have you shaking in your boots a little bit. When's the last time you moved in a direction, like we were singing in Oceans, that you felt like you had to completely rely on God for this thing to work? When's the last time that happened? Some of us, that might have not been a long time ago. You need to ask yourself, when's the last time? Another one is just plain old sin. And this is where the convicting part of this word comes from, is that sin. And I'm going to just talk about, it doesn't even have to be the big 7 or the big 10, whatever you want to call it, you know, the murder, the adultery, all those, the big ones we think in our mind. I'm talking about that sin that you're familiar with, that's become a part of your everyday life, that you're just kind of okay with. God's even tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, what about this? And you're like, it's not that bad. It's benign, not a big deal. God's like, really? In some ways, this sin is an identifying sin. Kind of identifies who you are. You're unwilling to relinquish it. I want to encourage you today. We're going to have an opportunity for that. Maybe that's something that you might want prayer for. The other thing is shame. This is something that I am really familiar with. My past, I carried a lot of this stuff with me. This is also very similar to sin in this way. It's an identifying thing. And I don't want to minimize people who have gone through bad things and you carry shame because bad things have happened to you. Because I have had horrible things happen to me and I have done horrible things. But all of that was paid for on the cross. We're not supposed to carry that around. And sometimes shame becomes some sort of a shelter. Or like, you ever seen a teenager with a sweatshirt on? Walking around. Their faces are all hidden. Their earphones are in. That's what we look like when we're walking around with shame. And it also prevents us from moving forward because God will take, I have this for you. And you're like, I can't because this happened to me and this is now who I am. Or God's like, I have this for you. And you're like, I can't because I did this, this, and this. And I've done that so many times. God's like, I want you to do this. And I said, I can't. I'm a felon. I'm this, blah, 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 blah. Even during this process that I'm working towards right now. I'm like, no, I can't. This is all these things that are going to prevent me from that. God's like, I have made you a new creation. Amen. You're new. You're free. Yeah. You share in my divine nature. I'm like, okay. Okay, I think I might be getting it. I'm a little slow. Thank you that God has patience. So there will be an opportunity, I said, for people to come forward and seek prayer for these or other things after communion. We will be wearing masks. We will social distance if that's something that you'd like to do. But we still need to pray for one another. It's so important. So how to walk in the more that God has called us to. So this is the kind of the end part of the story is, I heard that word. God has called us to so much more. I mean, I got excited because I'm a doer. I make things happen. I am a shaker and a builder. That is who I am. And God loves that about me. But God says you got to remember the other part. The relationship needs to stay key in your life. Because I went and I did ministry, man, all day, every day, all day long. I was running. Karen House knows she was there. Woo, 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 going a million miles an hour, running on empty. My husband says I always run around on empty on my car. I said, I know how much gas I have when the light hits. Trust me, we're good. But that's how I was treating my Christian life. So the relationship must be first. Has to be first. The products will come out of this relationship. Don't get caught up in the product without maintaining the relationship, the constant connection. Make time for the relationship. It happens in marriage all the time. You know, you're working different schedules. You know, you love each other, but then you go try to do something, and it's just awkward. Just everything's awkward. You're hurting each other's feelings, and you don't know why, and it's just off. Because you're not spending that time. My husband's like, yes. Oh, I love you, honey. I know I'm a little challenging. Shaking your head. No, so you got to spend that time with one another. Spend time in the Word. This is something we say over and over and over and over and over, right? But it's something you need to make a discipline in your life. For me, I use the 1 year, and it's very powerful. And I'll be honest, there's many times I'm staring at it, and the words are just like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, I'm here, I'm doing it. And other times, man, I'm just feeling like God's speaking to me and coming through to me, you know? You just have to make that discipline. And it's powerful how God will use that. And then this is a big one that I forgot. Spending time with God's people. I was ministering to God's people, but I wasn't allowing them to minister to me. Because again, what are we? Jesus' representative. We are little Jesuses. We're supposed to be Jesus to each other. That physical representation of Jesus to one another. And I know because of the coronavirus, this is challenging. But there's still ways to do this. There's Zoom. We're still meeting in person. Call somebody. Be there for somebody. Minister to one another. That's so important. So what does the more of God produce? It produces more. It's constant. The unending, constantly progressing forward, moving more. It produces the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a big one. Man, if I could dial in my self-control, I'd be unstoppable. I'm telling you. God's like, you can. More of me, and you can. This is the family-reconciling, life-changing, world-moving power of more. But it also requires an active participation. We are saved by grace alone through faith. Yes, true. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. But actively participating in adding to your faith. Right? We are saved by grace. Right, through our faith. But in 1 Peter 1:5-9 says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. So here's my active participation in what God has for us. Says, add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord, which I like to be effective and productive. So I'm like, all right, I'm dialing into this of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. So in closing, God has called us to so much more. We need to stop settling for the partiality that we've become satisfied with. He desires all of us so we can be filled with all of himself, so that we're able to live in the fullness he desires for us, so we can live in the completeness that was intended. We're to be completely free people, drawing others closer to him, because we share in his divine nature. If you guys would like to participate in communion, you are all welcome to do so. You do not have to be a member. If you do not have communion, the emblems are in the back in the foyer, and they're in these awesome little cups. And those of you who are online, you can grab juice, whatever you might have to participate. I encourage you to participate, because it is a powerful thing to participate in communion. This is another great way for us to participate as a community of people together, communing together with God. So at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's take the bread together. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take the juice together. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I want to ask the worship team to come up. And as they come up, if you felt like God spoke to you in any way during this time, or if you feel like that you have something else to pray about, I would encourage you to come forward. And in coming forward, there's something that powerful that happens with that. It's like raising your hand. It's actively participating. It's making a statement. It's moving forward. If you feel like there's something missing, there's just that call that you might have felt when you're younger or earlier in your walk with Christ, that you're like, "I desire to do anything and everything that God has called me to do." If you've lost that, I encourage you to come forward. Or if you want to pray about God to rekindle your desire for the lost, I encourage you to come forward. And if not, you want to sit in your seats, that's awesome too.